So there's a bit of a dispute between the Heights Lounge and the Gluckmeyers tonight, whether you should be saying that you know them or not. So where's the origins of this dispute? So this is not a machlokes in the local Minhagim. This comes back as the old machlokes. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes from Prima Gardim that you do say that you know them when Erev Pesach falls. Sorry, when the first night of Pesach is on Shabbos and Erev Pesach is Friday, you do say Vayinoam. So what's the reason? So why is it that we don't say Vayinoam when there's Yantif in the week? So part of it is that you only say it when there's going to be full 6 days of Malacha. So when there's a Yantif in the week, so you can't do Malacha on Yantif, so therefore we don't say Vayinoam when there's a full-blown Yantif. So what about Chol Moed? Now what gets more complicated is that Erev Pesach is like a quasi-Yantif. So is that enough to exempt you from saying Vayinoam when Erev Pesach falls out on Friday? So it's a big machlokes. It's Mishnah Berurah paskins b'shem prima gardim that you should say Vayinoam, which I believe is the minhag makubal in America. I could be wrong about this, but at least in Silver Spring. In Silver Spring, they say Vayinoam when Erev Pesach falls out on Friday. Other communities, the Sfaradim, so first of all, the Sfaradim always say Vayinoam. The Birki Yosef, for various Kabbalistic reasons, even if there's a Yantiv in the week, you always say Vayinoam, let's say Shabbos, no matter what. With Tukachinsky, in the Shilas Yavitz, the Yavitz, they bring down that Minog's not to. The Minog's not to say Vayinoam when Erev Pesach falls out on Friday, which is what they did in the Heights Lounge.
Yeah.
So I guess our Shechta assumed like the Yavitz and Gluck assumed like Mishnah Berurah that you should be saying Vayinoam tonight.
Yeah, or Leibowitz says Minha Ashkenaz not to say it for Erev Pesach.
Not to say it.
That's what Leibowitz says here.
When Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Rabbi Leibowitz, can you, what's the safer?
That the minog Ashkenaz is to say, which I believe is the minog, but for whatever reason, Shachta felt otherwise. So therefore, in the Heights Lounge, they did not say it tonight. Okay. So I thought we'd just discuss some halachos of Pesach, and we could discuss why we didn't prepare anything particular. So the question I get asked every single year, so I figured we might as well discuss it, is Yeshiva Bachim doing Bedikas Chametz, is that the same Bedika that you do on Erev Pesach, like normally, when on Erev Pesach, or is that different, like you have to do something different? So the Mishnah Berurah paskins b'shem the Prima Gardim, that whatever you do on Erev Pesach, normally, that's what you should do when you do Bedika earlier. Now, the difference is you're not going to make a bracha. There's a big machlok in Yishonim, whether you make a bracha on Bedikas Chametz done not on Erev Pesach. So, the Rav the Miri and others assume you make a bracha whenever. We paskin that you'll make the bracha on Erev Pesach. So, if you're going, so they're kicking us out of the dorms before Thursday night. So, whenever you do your Bedikas Chametz in your rooms, you should not make a bracha on that. But the Prima Gardim says that all the other applications of the halachos apply. So, for example, you're not allowed to learn, you're not allowed to eat before you do Bedikas Chametz. So the night before a person leaves here, they should not go to Night Seder. I mean, they should, but they should first go to their room to do Bedika, and say the Bittul. This is Machlokes, and the Taz says that you should do the Bittul Erev Pesach. But the Magen Avraham, and most of the Mishnah Berurah, and most of the posts passing like this Magen Avraham, so you should do a Bittul for that room that night. Yeah.
Well, just if you have roommates leaving at different times, like.
So you should do the bedika for your part of the room. I know. Apparently, at Stern, they told the girls that they don't need to do bedika at all. So what's the pshat? You know, have you heard about this? Or is my inside information tells me? What? No. So I think pshat is that they're selling the dorms. So I don't know what they're doing for the YU dorm. So if anything that you sell to a guy, so technically you don't need a bedika for. Now the only problem with this is that they're probably not selling the dorm rooms till you're Dalid. So the girls are going to be leaving before you're Dalid. Huh? So technically speaking, until the sales chal, you're chayv at that moment to do bedika.
So even if I'm afraid, you would say you're just not able to learn or do malacha until
what? You're here? What do you mean?
As in, you're not gonna be finally answered in the end.
No, but If you have an obligation to do, this comes back to the minhag. There's a minhag. Honestly, the minhag is not to do bedikah in places you're going to sell. But a lot of the Shomer Zalman says, like, if you're going to do that, so you should have the sale bichal before the bedikah, because technically speaking, at that moment, this is still your chometz and you should check it. So.
And you're still living there, though, so have your sale when you're living there.
Why not? You can sell it.
No, some folks can, are not fans of selling parts of your house. They hold, like, Rav Willick, he writes in his shtar that you have to deco rent it. You don't say it, because he said it looks like Kara on the Revelli. I should pass it this way as well.
Yeah. Or, yeah.
So am I, if I have to do bedikah right now, like I know I'm going to take care of it Tuesday night or whatever.
No, the night before you go. The last night that you're here.
No, as in, I don't understand this whole svara that, like, if you know it's going to get taken care of, yeah. I.e. you're going to sell comments, so then why is there still a chiyuv to do bedikah right now? As in, I know it's
going to get taken care of. Oh, no, because you have a shas chiyuv, so... Chazal instituted that if you're leaving a place before 30 days before Yantav, you have an obligation to do bedikah. When you leave, if you have an obligation at that moment, you have an obligation at that moment. So you're going to tell, someone's going to do it, you're going to sell it, and that's going to remove the obligation, but this moment you still have the obligation. Okay, the minhag, there are a lot of people who there definitely has been a minhag that's sort of been like, oh, since I know it's going to be taken care of, we're not going to do it, but... There's what to discuss, let's
now,
just say.
Presumably the whole Indian of Bedika is that you have to make sure that there's no chametz.
Correct, but if you haven't, no, so this comes back to also when it comes to Bedika's chametz, right? How much is it just about the result of the having chametz, or how much is there an actual obligation on the person to do the Bedika, even if you know that there's no chametz there? So if you understand, it's still a separate chovas gaver, regardless of whether you have chametz or not, so... You're still going to have to do the bedikah for that. Yeah, so do you have to put out 10 pieces? Should a person buy 10 pieces of bread to put out for the Wayu bedikah chometz? So Rav Yashiv said that you should. Rav Yashiv said, whenever you do bedikah, you should always get 10 pieces of bread, but the Minchas gets so good, he wasn't such a fan. And he said, what?
The Hefker table is going to be filled with bread anyway, probably.
Yeah. The Hefker table is, yeah, so I don't know, last year the entire Hefker table, from one end to the other, it was full of who knows what. I wouldn't necessarily recommend taking from it because it could be like leftovers from like Shavuot. So, but yeah, there'll definitely be plenty of chametz.
Was there anything used for the ten pieces?
Yeah, you can. Yeah, there's no chiyuv to do so because why do we do 10 pieces normally? So
is it
even true? What? Was it Bracha Levatal? No, it's been Bracha. It's like to be choshish for one pinion in the Rishon, that seems it's going to be Bracha Levatal. You don't find anything.
There's also the Yesodis aspect too,
right?
Is there
Darizal.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, so really, why do 10 pieces? Put 2 pieces. So Darizal said 10 pieces.
True.
Yeah, so you're attacking the 10 spheres of the Bedika. Okay, I don't know.
10 sons of Hamad. There's actual prayer about this. The 10 sons, because they all correspond to one sphere and... No, I'm 100% serious. You're laughing. I'm 100% serious.
Yeah, 500 cents?
No, but like the 10 that were hanged correspond to the 10 spheres, and that's why you have 10 pieces of chomet here coming to wipe them out. I'm not making this up.
Okay, remember. So apparently the 10 pieces of chametz are corresponding. What?
The Radomsker, I think he discussed this. He would look shocked today.
Okay. Apparently the Radomsker says some shot about the connection between the pieces of chametz and the Aseres Pnei Haman. Never heard of such a shot before.
Yeah,
okay. So new chiddush. Okay, no, but we assume like Minchas Kitzak because... Again, it's not the whole chashash of Bracha Vatal is not going to be so applicable. So, okay, you want to get into Kabbalah. Okay, we're not always so close to Kabbalah, so it's not the end of the world. Now, did she use a flashlight or candle? So, A, the dorms do not allow you to bring candles into your room. So, do not bring a candle to my room. One time, there was a guy, this was like last week, 3 years ago in YU. So, a guy had a brilliant idea to light Shabbos candles in his room. Now, his room got caught in fire. That caused the entire sprinkler system to go off. And that ruined a few hundred dollars worth of sfarim of mine. So do not bring candles into your dorm room to do bedikas chametz. It's not a good idea. So what should you use? So you can use a flashlight. if you have one, or and if you don't, you can use, I think on your phone there's all sorts of fancy gadgets.
Torch.
Torch, okay, there you go, yeah.
Could you have brought him to
Bezdin? Did I bring him to Bezdin? Yeah, so what happened was I brought him to the OSL office, and there's a big deal in amongst the... no, so it's actually a question, because what happened was, like, for example, I had two volumes of Shagasari, so one of them got destroyed. Right, so how much does this guy owe me? Does right, let's say, for example, the two...
You want to buy him together.
What?
You want to buy him
No, but if you think about it, owning one volume of Shagasari, how much is that worth?
Not half.
It's not worth half. It's probably worth like $3. So how much does he owe me? Does he owe me $17 or does he owe me $10? What? Yeah, but you can't buy a chalaga. Well, that's a separate... Yeah, but theoretically, no, so he doesn't have to pay. He doesn't have to pay the actual... We pass him when he comes to Nazik, and you don't have to pay the money. You don't technically have to replace the object. No, so what happened was, as Machlokes to the Kol Eliyahu says that you have to pay $10. He dealt with a case of, like, earrings. Like, one earring got stolen, so the question is whether the guy had to pay half or he had to pay for the value, like, how much went down value, but the Divrei Gaonim. He's the diamond siget. So he passed that you pay based off the discrepancy in the value of the two items, and that's what you follow. So I got. And the OSL was very nice to me. So they bought me. They allowed me to buy both Shagasaris. I had both of them, even though I only needed one. So I managed to get more sperm as a result of my sperm getting destroyed. So yeah. Okay, I think that's it in terms of Bedikas Chametz and Dorms. I didn't prepare anything particular to discuss. If anyone has a suggestion, we can do that. If not, we can just discuss stuff about Lel Seder. I don't know. Yeah.
You talked about, like, the Mitzvah
Okay, let's talk about the Mitzvah Dor Reis of Sipur Yitzias and Sain. Okay, so first of all, Right, so how does a person fulfill the mitzvah, the reisa, secrets, and signs? How much do you need to say? So there's a big machlokes in Yishon. There's like 20 different shittas in Yishon and why is it that we don't make a bracha on secrets, and signs? So a lot of Yishonim assume that you're yotze if you say one word. You can be yotze with even saying one word, and the area even brings down the pins. You can be yotze with midaraisa, you can be yotze with the bracha of emes v'amuna at Kriyashma. Assuming that you said it post Tzakharavim. Yeah, so technically speaking, you're being yotze, you can be yotze of one word, but pshat is that you're just being mamshich the meis mitzvah. And so the same way that when you start eating in the sukkah on sukkah's night, is it pshat that you're getting a mitzvah like every single second you're sitting in the sukkah, or is it just like one long extended meis mitzvah? So there's a lot to discuss there, but a lot of Rishon when someone comes to the mitzvah separation time, that it's really one extended Maisa mitzvah, starting from the first word you say until the last word you say, and that's the reason why. So if you look in the Shulchan Aruch passage says that person is supposed to say over the Sipur Yitzias and Sain until he falls asleep. Like, until he falls asleep. Where else in Halacha do we find that a chiyuv of a mitzvah continues until a person falls asleep? So that's pshat. So Allah Chon explained that once you go asleep, that creates a hafsek, that creates a hasechadas. So therefore your chiyuv stops. But as long as you're still awake, you still have an obligation from that. Your previous obligation still continues. Therefore, you still have to continuously speak about Yitzias and Yisrael the entire night.
So what happens if you fall asleep for half an hour and then you wake up?
No, so if you're in still in the middle of the Haggadah, so still have it. But once you go to sleep, no, so the whole Kaka Paskin is that you can do whatever you want at that point. You don't have to talk about Sipur Yitzias and Sain anymore, and you also, there's a lot of opinions, right? So the halacha is you're not allowed to eat after the afikoman. There's a whole discussion, let's say you go to sleep and like wake up in the middle of the night, can you eat after the afikoman at that point? Because it could be the entire reason of not eating after the afikoman doesn't applicable once you go to sleep and had a hetzek hadas from the entire seder.
Is it the chiyuv, maybe I'll get adjusted, is it separate from the chiyuv of mitzvah time of Torah? Meaning, some of what you're going to say about Sipur Yitzias and Sain might not be considered shiur of tish bachas. I don't know how much of that is considered Talmud Torah.
Yeah.
So is the hitter maybe in learning Hilchos Korban Pesach or something?
Yeah, so that's a big, okay, no, so that's a big, so what's the whole Indian of staying up post-Seder? So there's an interesting Barbanel. The Barbanel brings down that, what do we say? Bechol dor v'dor chayiv adam liyosetz atzmo ki liyotzim mitzayim. So the Barbanel says like this. So post-Chatzos, what were Klal Yisrael doing?
Traveling.
Yeah, but the miracle is happening. The Makkos Bechor is happening at Chatzos. So therefore, the mitzvahs to specifically speak about what happened to Klal Yisrael, right, after Chatzos, because we're trying to reenact what happened to Klal Yisrael. Okay, so we can't have Makkos Bechoros happen nowadays and everything that happens subsequently. So you're not supposed to speak about the halacha, we're supposed to speak about the actual sipur because we're supposed to reenact what happened. That's what the Barbanel says. But if you look in the Chizkuni, right, in the Ibn Ezra, they explain that, right, Lel Shimurim, being by talking, just talking about sipur since time, that's what creates as a Lel Shimurim. So, yeah, granted that the Tosafta says you should learn Hilchos Korban Pesach, and they're definitely planning posting the same way you should, but I don't know, if you want to be Yotzei L'Chodeh, it's probably best to speak about the actual sipur. Because that's what Klal Yisrael did when they left. No, so Shir Hashem is an old minhag. There's an old minhag to say Shir Hashem after the Seder, because it's all about the Ave. Pesach, who became Kadosh Baruch Hu's nation, Shir Hashem is all about Ava, which is like the entire theme of Pesach, so therefore that's an old, there's an old minhag to say Shir Hashem post near, so yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so when Shabbos, yeah, so what when do you say Shir Hashem when there's no Shabbos Chol Hamoed? So in Chutzlitz we say it on the eighth day of Pesach, on the second Shabbos. In Eretz Yisrael, when Pesach is only 7 days, so they say it on the first day.
Even when there's Yisker, we say
it. Yeah, yeah, even when there's Yisker, they'll say Shir Hashem. Yeah, it's a good question. Okay, anyway, back to our mitzvah, yeah.
I know, like,
No. Yeah, exactly. Put matzah on the shoulder. Yeah, the kolbo brings down.
Yeah.
You're supposed to put the matzah on the shoulders to reenact what Klal Yisrael did in Mitzrayim. Put this way, anything that's found in Rishonim and Poskim to reenact what Klal Yisrael did in Mitzrayim, Pashas is a kiyum. Just start coming up with your own. I'm not saying no. I'm saying it could be a part of the seaport, but like, there's no chiyuv to
whacking each other with leaves. That's all minakadim by Shvardim.
Yeah, I know. I guess the question is like, to what extent do we try to reenact the sipur? It's like, obviously, we're not trying to reenact every single detail.
Well, that seems like
that was
especially for
going to the big.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then you should also, for that, take a sheep and tie a sheep to your bed.
Yeah, but that's not on like the night. Oh.
No, but it's part of the sipur. You need to give yourself another topic that principle.
What? No, I looked. There are people. The old Italian minhag was to, they would arrange this table for the seder 3 days before. No, 4 days before. Like to reenact. Yeah. But okay, I don't know. There's different. There's all sorts of different minhag. Like, there's all sorts of different minhag. How? To what extent? But Pashtus. You want to buy a sheep? Okay. Yeah, but Pashas, we eat the matzah in the Korban Pesach, and okay, obviously now we can't eat the Korban Pesach, but we eat the matzah tomorrow to reenact the Klal Yisrael when they left Egypt. And we spoke about this last week, I think, that when we eat matzah lo seder, it's not only a kiyum of the mitzvah of Achilas Matzah, but you're also fulfilling the mitzvah sipur tzitzayim with it, because a sipur, by definition, is not only words, it's also actions. So eating matzah, eating maror, there's two kiyumim with that. So there's also, there's the sipur tzitzayim with words, and then there's also sipur tzitzayim with actions, which is the mitzvah saliva.
Does that mean
you're going to kiyum
deraisa by the maror then?
Yeah, it seems to be, yeah. It's a kiyum deraisa, but there's a kiyum in deraisa from deep maror, which is also going to be a kiyum deraisa of sipur tzitzayim, because there's an interesting Mishnas Yaivitz. So he points out that the Dogma of Avo, the Nobi Yudah Paskins, let's say a person has like 5 minutes to Chatzos, right? For whatever reason, you didn't get your Seder started till like 5 minutes to 10 minutes before Chatzos, what should you do? So the Dogma of Avo Paskins, you should eat the Maror and Matzah before Chatzos and skip over the Haggadah. Sipur tzitzayim is the mitzvah deraisa, you're going to skip over the Haggadah, which is the mitzvah deraisa, to be Mekayim in the mitzvah of Maror, which is only Din Derabanan. So Mishnah says, you see from here that the Dogma of Rav must hold that eating the matzah and eating the maror is also kiyum derayis secret tzayim, so therefore you should do that before chatzos and not read the Haggadah, because there's like two kiyumim when it comes to matzah and maror versus only one when you're saying... What?
Can you not argue on this?
I'm not saying, you can definitely argue on it, but I'm saying this is what the Mishnah Sefer says to explain the Behir's opinion. Yeah.
Can we also say, like, you support, like, one word is enough, so he's like, just try it, like, while you're eating.
Yeah, no, so...
You need to go through the whole Haggadah.
Correct. Yeah, technically... What? So again, right, like Rabbi Gamliel says, right, Kol Shalei El Amar Shalosh Dvarim Ha'ilu Lo Yetzei Dei Chovaso. So what does that mean? So it's a big machlok from Yishon, and after Yishon Mitzvah, it's referring to the mitzvahs of Matzah, Pesach Matzah Mar, you not fulfill those mitzvahs properly without saying those things about them. The other half of Yishon Mitzvah, it's referring to the mitzvah Sivir Tzitzayim. Now, the Ran, and most of Yishon Mitzvah, when you say Lo Yetzei Dei Chovaso, it doesn't mean Legamre, it just means like Karai. It doesn't mean like you didn't fulfill anything, you just didn't do it properly. Okay, so other things in terms of secrets and signs, so yeah.
I'll ask later.
Okay, no, so is it better for one person to say everything, or should you have, like, everyone say it together?
Or could you have, like, different people?
Or different, yeah, I don't know, different people. Should different people be like, yeah, something like those, what? Yeah, so, okay, Pashtos, if you... You can do that. Now, a person under Bar Bat Mitzvah should not be the one reading the Haggadah, because you can't be Yotzei the Mitzvah for someone who's not a Bar Chiyuva. So there's different understandings. When it comes to being Yotzei the Mitzvah of Haggadah for someone else reading, is that for Shemeka Ona? Or maybe it's not for Shemeka Ona. It could just be because the definition of Sipor is by acting things out. And when it comes to Sipor, but then, like, one person's going to say something, you're going to be listening. So, however you understand it, though, someone who's not obligated in the mitzvah can't be motzi other people in the mitzvah. So if you want multiple people to be reading, or if you want to rotate around the table, have everyone read a bit, if you're going to have a child read, you should have someone over Bar Bat Mitzvah read it afterwards.
There's people that aren't from there. Yeah. They don't necessarily believe in what's going on in the Haggadah, or they
might
be considered kosher according to the Rambam. Would you be with their reading?
What?
Would you be with their reading? They don't even care what it is.
Read it yourself. No.
You can read it, yeah. No, but is there a hiddur? But what's the most mahodur? Is it more mahodur? A lot of posts can bring down that the minog nowadays is that every person reads it to themselves because, like, you're concerned that you didn't hear it or you can't focus or whatever. But it could be that, by definition, the Sipur, it's better a kiyum of Sipur when one person reads it. Forget Rovam, Hajjus, Melech, and whatever when it comes to the rest of the year. Just by definition, it could be Mitzad Sipur Tzim Sam. It's better for one person to read it.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah, sure.
What happens if you have to, like, deal with stuff in the kitchen?
What happens if you...
let's say you're the mother and all the food and everything else, and she has to go into the kitchen...
Yeah.
In the middle of the reading, deal with the food and making sure everything is heated up properly, whatever. Like, it could be that they're, if you don't, you know, like, and I have to, like, go down and pick something up somewhere else. Like, what if you don't hear a word? I can quickly say it to myself.
No, okay, so the Chai Adam.
Is it okay to be in the next room if, like, something is frying and it's making a lot of noise?
We'll discuss.
What do you do?
Okay, we'll discuss. What? Okay, so this is not, the Chai Adam always bothered with this question, right? The women were not always present. So back in the day, most women did not understand Hebrew. Okay, Baruch Hashem, that's changed. But what do the women do when they have to be involved in the kitchen? They're not going to be able to sit to say it the entire time. So the Chai Adam paskens that a woman should, they should just make sure to call the woman in for the main parts of the Sipur. And the main parts of the Sipur are the Parshas Bikurim and the Rem Gamliel Haya Omer. And cites a few other paragraphs, the Howl, whatever. But the not so main components of the Maggid, so technically speaking, she doesn't need to be there for.
Now, there's also,
don't have to say them. No, you don't have to say them. Now, there's a big discussion whether women are obligated. So, as women, well, I guess let's just go, I took this as granted. Are women even obligated in the midst of secrets? It's the same. So, why would they be obligated? Why would they not be obligated? So, the reason. To not be obligated is that, simply put, it's the mitzvah seishas v'angama. So the klal is mitzvah seishas v'angama nashim gom pidurus. But Well, everyone seems to disagree with this, so there's different reasons given. So in the Sefer Chinuch Paskins, explicitly women are obligated. So a lot of poskim assume that could just be because she'afhenu yubo so nes. And what's the problem with saying that? She'afhenu yubo so nes seems to only be a chiv derabon, not a chiv deraisa. So the way a lot of the achronim like to say it is that once women are obligated mitzvah matzah, that also generates an obligation of the mitzvah sefer tzusayim. So once women are obligated matzah and the rest of the mitzvahs of the night, those can be obligated mitzvah sefer tzusayim, and therefore women are just as obligated and as men are in the mitzvah, and that's what we assume, that women are obligated mitzvah darakosos, women are obligated mitzvah maror, women are obligated mitzvah matzah, and they should not be, it's not like you can, like, the women have, like, less of a chiyuv, and therefore they don't have to eat as much matzah or drink as much of the darakosos as men. That's not a correct conception. It's a misconception. They're just as obligated, and therefore they should, we should be makbid that the women are put this way. It's not like they have to adopt all the chumras that other people might want to do in the family, but it's not like they should just be eating like a tiny bit of matzah and assume that's okay because they're not really obligated. That's a mistake. Okay.
What's the Shemra's chapter hakvadah that the fourth cup of wine before chatzos?
What's the okay. So does a person have to have all four cups of wine before chatzos? So the fourth cup of wine is set on Hallel. So I have a whole discussion about this. The Ma'aril, there's a big contradiction in Ma'aril and the poskim of a person has to be makbid on. The reason to be mako is because the dalkosis are din derabanan. The entire reason why we're makbid by it comes to matzah by chatzos is because it's a machlokes and rishon. We seem suffering the raisa l'chumra, and therefore we paskin you should have to have your matzah at least the first kazayis of matzah by chatzos. Now, when it comes to dalakosos, so that's when dinder abundance, so the girl, the Chok Yaakov, and a bunch of others assume that you can be mako and have it post-chatzos. But there are plenty of others who disagree with that and assume that you should complete all the mitzvah salayla before chatzos, and include in the mitzvah salayla the fourth cup and also halo. So that's where Shakta is getting that from.
Why is that?
Why? Why? No, because it could be someone might hold that Mikra didn't, like, we really passing that everything has to be done by Chatzos. B, yeah, I'm saying it could be that they're not going to agree with the Safik Derban Makula. Like, they did, yeah, but there's an opinion of Simla Halach that everything has to be done by Chatzos. Like, it's not Safik Derban Makula, we're not sure if we do Chatzos or until Alos HaShachar, so therefore they're just going Paskin Allah, everything has to be done by Chatzos. And Tosus, this contradict Tosus in different places says different things, but like, the opinion of Tosus in some places is that everything has to be done by Chatzos. Yeah. Okay, any other questions? Yeah.
If you have to do a Seder alone,
yeah.
Is there anything, like what's like the ikker thing that you have to do? Is it, do you have to do like a normal Seder?
Yeah.
Do you have to have someone listening?
Do you have to? No. So the Mishnah says that even if a person should still say Manashtani if he's by himself, you do not have to have anyone listening. It's definitely much more ideal to have someone there. You should try. But like during COVID or whatever, when people weren't able to do that, so you have to make a, yeah, people have to make a say on their own, then they have to do it. Yeah. Yeah.
So would you
be okay
with that? With
Yeah. That's where they have the Manishtana.
I thought it was
the first
convention. I can't remember.
Yeah, it's about the hacker, yeah, because the whole point of Sefer Yetzirah Tzitzayim, right, the Rambam in the beginning of Perek Zayin of Hilchos Chametz Matzah says that what's the source of Sefer Yetzirah Tzitzayim, right, Zochar Yom HaShabbos Tzitzayim, right, Tzitzayim, like the same way it says by Shabbos, Zochar Yom HaShabbos Akadcho. So like everyone's bothered, what's the connection between Kiddush on Shabbos to Mississippi Teen Shem. So Kiddush on Shabbos, the Rambam defines it as recognizing how Shabbos is different than the other 6 days of the week. Separate since time, what we're doing is recognizing how this night is different than every other night of the year. It's the two are very similar in that regard. Which is the Gra's explanation of Manishtana. Okay, any other questions? Yeah.
Just
generally up to questions? Yeah. Oh, whatever, okay. We have 7 minutes. 7 minutes.
You shouldn't invite a Nachri over for a meal on Yontif.
Yeah.
But on Shabbos, can you?
Because yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and Shabbos, now, should you invite a goy over to your Seder? Definitely not. This is like the one day where we're, it's ironic, because it's like, this is like the one holiday where we're celebrating that we became our own nation, and like, this is like the one night a year where people feel the obligation to like, invite the non-Jewish neighbors to like, get the experience, like...
That's
what
Yeshua
Hamas
al-Goy. Yeah. You really mean it. Yeah.
What about inviting your man from...
It's not Pasha. I don't know what to say. It's not Pasha. What? What?
Oh,
well, what's not Pasha? No, so there's halacha. You also not allowed to cook food on Yom Tov. You can't cook food lochem, lochem, lochem. So, no, it's a question. Someone's been halacha after perhaps you're allowed to cook food for them on Yom Tov.
In general, like,
what?
Doesn't matter if they're Tinochinishba, if they're Michal Shabbos, they already passed the Arikos. No, if they're closed, now, like Michal Shabbos, Tvarheski, that means that, like, you're in Williamsburg, and then Mahachas, you're going out. Yeah, 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 yeah. No, so... Correct, correct. No, sometimes there's different opinions about this, but different... Not everyone's on board with inviting. Now, sometimes it's better... It's a question that people have to deal with, right? So...
Right, the person has like the non-religious coworker that he wants to invite over. So he doesn't want to invite him over Friday night because he's going to drive there. So, when's he going to invite him? So fine, so invite him for like Yom Tov Sheni, right? Because at least, okay, it's Yom Tov Sheni and there's, whatever, I don't know. So what?
Well, also, if the car is driving is Avara, then it's sadly.
Yeah, I'm saying it could be Avara, yeah, it could be a decent. What? Okay, sure. The cash and mice, whatever. But no, so, okay, but by doing that, you just run into other problems, because it could be you're not even allowed to cook for this guy to begin with, so. You can't do Reboy Shurim, though, for have in mind. You can't have Reboy Shurim of Kavon not to cook for something you're not allowed to cook for.
It's like 50 people, so he's a 16th person, not cooking any extra food for
him. No, so that's. No, the problem is the person won't get into is like, but what mice you actually are, like. Yeah, if a person was able to measure that you're not going to, fine, but like...
Or like what happened, like he just showed up, he didn't know.
No, so fine, so I'm saying, yeah, so if the person shows up, fine, so you didn't cook for him, that's great. According to everyone, that's going to be okay. The problem is specifically cooking for him, and that's not including the Heter V'Ochel Nefesh. So, bottom line, ask a local authority about what to handle that situation. Not so simple. I don't know. Okay, so I guess we'll hold it here. Okay, sorry for not really preparing anything, but...